Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Sit for Less, featuring the Zodi Chair and the Very Task Chair by Hayworth, online at sitforless.com. And
Subaru,
where all vehicles are built in zero landfill plants.
Love, it's what makes a Subaru.
And WeatherTech, maker of floor mats and floor liners to protect a vehicle's interior from dirt, mud, and sand. Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the mail division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Right.
My brother has a new philosophy that we shouldn't prepare anything for the show anymore.
Well, I mean, we usually do prepare by saying where we're going to broadcast from, and then we have a little thing.
Right, a little ditty.
Yeah, and we didn't have any ideas for today.
So it happens.
But we did have a pile of mail, and I have here in front of me, this is the opening of the show, so I'm going to open a priority mail package, and I have no idea what's in it, and whatever it is, we'll discuss it. There's a letter. Oh, geez. Aromatherapy.
Really?
The Aeron Drive, it's not a letter. What the heck is
that? I love it already. Look at all this stuff. Little bottles of things and things that take AA batteries. Anything that takes a AA battery
is all right in my book. Well, I'll just read it to you. Just plug it in, it says. Place the power of electronic aroma diffusion at your fingertips. Reduces stress and road fatigue. Eliminate cigarette smells and unwanted odors.
Oh, that'll come in handy in your car.
Easily change scents or aroma intensity. And it's got a thing. No, it is not a AA battery. It plugs into your cigarette lighter.
Well, I have been a big advocate of aromatherapy for a long time. Because have you ever been someplace where you smell something?
And you say, boy, that brings me back.
Brings me back.
Well, I don't know how it works.
The time I walked my dog in the dark or something like that. Without a flashlight.
Oh man, alive. I've got it.
Well, next week we'll have to have a full report on these things because these promise to be. I mean, the reduced stress and road fatigue.
Oh, the one that I have here is called Stress Away.
This one, the one I have here is called Tommy Away. All right, baby.
Same thing. But wait a minute. Did you plug this into what?
Alas, you do not have a cigarette lighter on that.
I do not have a cigarette lighter.
Barbaric vehicle that you own.
No, I don't.
No.
That's all right. I'll just pour this stuff in my hair.
Oh, boy. If you'd like to call us about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from East Canton, Ohio.
East Canton. And how's that different from West Canton?
There is no West Canton.
Aha!
That's how.
There is no West Canton.
There's not.
But there's a Canton, of course.
There is. Right. And a North Canton and a South Canton.
Really?
Well, I think it's high time for part of regular old Canton to secede and form the village of West Canton. I mean, what's it going to take, guys?
Now, what were they thinking?
I don't know.
They put a north, they put a south, put an east.
What's there right now where West Canton would be? Is there a river?
No, there's a city of Massillon.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
We're going to get rid of them.
All right, Amy.
Thanks for calling.
What's going on?
Well, I have a 1992 Honda Civic, and it runs great. I've been driving it since I was 16.
Yeah.
But it has this weird thing, and I don't understand it. When you go to start the car, you have to push in the little silver disc around where the key goes into the ignition and hold it in the whole time you put the key in and start the car. If you don't, it won't start. It just locks up. The key won't go in. And I've asked people, and I've been told that it's a security feature that Honda came up with, and it's just this little trick the driver knows to start the car, but I've never heard of another Civic having this thing go on.
Whoever told you what he told you, or she, I'm betting it's a he, though.
It's bogus.
Was it a relative that told you this?
Some of my dad's friends from his car club.
There you go.
But you have inserted keys in other Honda Civics.
Correct.
And they don't do that.
And I've never had this before.
So let me get this right. The thing into which you plunge the key.
Correct.
Has a slot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the surrounding area is metallic, and it's kind of silver.
Yes.
Is that the part that they're asking you to press on?
Yes. You have to hold it in with your other hand and hold it in the whole time you put the key in.
Yeah. Amy, didn't you read the owner's book? It's right in there on page 27, how to start the car and prevent unauthorized use.
Yeah.
No. What?
You need a new ignition switch.
So it's just something unique to my car, huh?
I think so. What's wrong is that the switch is probably faulty. And when you put the key in and you don't push on this silver thing, are you able to turn the key?
No, she said you can't even. You
might not need the switch. You might need just the lock, the cylinder, and the key.
Yeah.
Okay, you might need, and I don't know if that's sold separately for this car, but if it isn't, you have to buy the whole shebang, and you can only buy it really from the Honda Civic dealer.
So really, I should just keep holding it in with the other hand.
Well, you can continue to do that, but there's going to be some day, and I'll tell you exactly what day it's going to be. It's going to be the day
you're getting married and you're on your way in the Civic. To the church.
Right, and worse than that, it's going to be on the snowiest, coldest winter day. You're going to have the wedding dress on.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to get the car started. And boy, you're going to be ticked off when that happens. So I would take it someplace and see if they can replace the key in the cylinder. If they can do that. If not, you might want to investigate replacing the entire thing, which includes the switch, which is the electrical part, and the little wiring harness attached to it.
It's been doing it for 9 years. I've never had a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, 9 years.
Yeah.
I'd say forget about it.
I'm tempted to say forget about it, too, and it does.
The little old lady who owned it before me just told me that's how it started.
Well, so she's the one who broke it.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know what? I'm tempted to say the heck with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say that.
Well, but just make sure that when you are getting married, you have a backup plan.
Well, I'm already married, so I'm not too worried.
You never know. I mean, Tom was already married, too. Good luck, Amy.
Thank you.
You never know when opportunity knocks, you know?
This is true.
See you later.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Thomas from Hooksett, New Hampshire.
Hi, Thomas. Thomas, you sound young.
Yes, I'm 13.
You're 13. Well, I'm sure you have a leg up on the Thomas that's on our end here. What's going on?
Well, I actually have a car, and I'm 13. It's a 1994 Nissan Altima. I have no mechanical problems with it, but there's a problem between my mom and I.
My mom and me.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah, okay. We give English lessons on the side.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so you have a problem between your mom and you.
You and your mom, huh?
Yes, my mom told me a couple months ago, I've had the car for a year. She said, okay, Thomas, I know you've had this car for a while, but you know what? I don't think it's safe, and I'm not going to let you drive it when you get older. And I'm like, oh, come on, Mom.
Oh, so this car, you've had
this
car.
Have you driven it?
No, he hasn't driven. He's 12 years old.
13.
I was right.
Well, I just want you to know, my father made me drive when I was 12.
Yeah, he was hoping you ran away and joined the circus. He used to leave the keys in the ignition, too. So how did you end up with a car at age 13, and why does your mother think this car is going to be dangerous when you get around to driving it?
Well, last summer, I basically volunteered my time at this car dealership because my dad knows the guy who's there, and I'm into cars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He didn't pay me for any of the work that I did because I helped him, basically sell the cars and stuff like that. So he gave me this old car that he had on the lot, which happened to be a Nissan Altima.
Yeah,
that's how I got it.
Excellent. So now you're in the process of making sure every system on the car works perfectly. So when you turn 16 and a half, voila, the car is there for you.
Yes.
And Mom doesn't like it. Why?
My parents are the people that buy new cars every 2 years, so they're used to having, every single, nice feature and, safety feature and everything. So.
Oh, so your mother thinks this doesn't have enough safety features.
Yeah.
And they buy a new car every 2 years.
Yeah.
Are they interested in adopting any radio show hosts? You want a couple of stepbrothers? So she would rather have you drive one of these two-year-old cars.
Yes, and then that's what I've told my mom before. Okay, Mom, do you want to buy the car for me?
And?
And then she said no, and then which is like, okay, she won't let me drive my car, but she won't buy me one.
Yeah.
I'm at a dead end here.
Well, your car certainly doesn't have stability control, but it does have, obviously, an airbag for both the driver and the passenger.
Yes, it does.
It may have anti-lock brakes, 94.
Actually, I looked online, and it was an option, and I don't know, you know, how to find out if there's anti-lock brakes in the car.
You can find out from the VIN, you know where the vehicle identification number is?
Oh, yeah, the VIN, yeah.
Okay, if you call this dealership that you work for, call the parts department, they'll tell you if that VIN has anti-lock brakes. Embedded in that VIN is information. Also, you could look under the hood, and you will see, if there is anti-lock brakes, you will see a device that attaches to the brake master cylinder that has a whole bunch of other small tubes coming from it.
Okay.
But if you're determined to fix this car and to become intimate with it, you're going to need to learn all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And you got 3 years, man. And you got three years to fix the car, and during which time you can convince your mother that it's okay for you to drive this car. And if she doesn't want you to drive it, then I think...
She's going to buy you a new one.
She's going to buy you, exactly.
I mean, who does she think she is? Your mother?
She can't get away with this. Tell her you'll run away and join the circus.
Yeah.
Like my father was hoping my brother did. But I, you know, this is certainly not the most dangerous car to drive, not by any means. I don't know what the crash test numbers were, but this car is certainly not on the bottom end. If this were, you know, a 67 Volkswagen Beetle, I would be on your mother's side firmly. I'd say, no,
yeah,
you're not driving this car.
Yeah, I would be on my mom's side, too.
Right. So you sound like a level-headed guy. And I trust that when the time comes, you will drive this car or whatever car you drive safely. And I think the bigger determinant is the driver. And while it's nice to have all those safety features, I think in some sense they encourage kids to do daredevil things. And if you don't have all that stuff, you drive a little more safely and keep a proper distance between you and the car in front, and you don't do anything stupid like drive at high speeds.
Yeah, I have to explain this to my mom later.
Yeah, well,
you've never taken a shot at driving so far, huh?
Well, actually, believe it or not, I kind of left this part out, but I drive the car around the parking lot sometimes, and I put like 75 miles on it just going in the parking lot.
75.
Huh.
Doug Berman's father told me that Doug put 300 miles on their car going back and forth in the driveway. Pulling up, backing up, pulling up, backing up. Anyway,
Thomas, I wish you the best of luck.
Have your mother call us.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't forget, you can join the circus anytime. See you later, man.
All right, bye.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Beth from Holliston, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You are from Holliston?
I am from Holliston,
Where is that?
It's southwest of the city, really close to Framingham and Hopkinton, where the Boston Marathon starts.
Of course.
Ah, Holliston and Hopkinton, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Sister cities.
Yeah, the H's.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's up, Beth?
Well, I have a problem, and I was hoping that you guys could help me. I have a 1993 Ford Taurus, and it's cranberry. It's really beautiful.
Cranberry's a nice color.
Yes, it is, except that I cannot parallel park it. It's horrible. This is a problem because I live in Holliston, but I work in Boston. So if I need to drive in, I either need to park in a garage and pay about $18 a day, or drive around on all the streets until I can find two spots
you can pull into. Now,
right.
Can you not park it because of you or because of the poor visibility?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, because the poor visibility, like I can't see out the back of it. I mean, I can see out the window, but I can't see the back of the car because of the way it's shaped.
Right.
So I'm always afraid I'm going to hit the car behind me.
The trunk slopes down.
Right. And
you
so
don't
I can't see the end of the trunk. And somebody suggested that I get those little metal things that go onto the bumpers.
You could do that.
But I would be so embarrassed to drive around.
Here's what you do.
Yeah, you have to disguise them.
Forget the back window.
Okay.
Back up using the side mirrors.
Okay.
Oh, here comes theory number 71.
Well, obviously,
from my brother.
You're trying to rely on something that is not going to benefit you. You can't see out the back. Forget the back.
Okay.
Forget the back
completely.
Well,
for that matter, why look out at all?
I don't.
Just wing it. I mean, pull up alongside the car.
Mostly, if you just looked to your right
okay.
and looked out the side window at the car next to you,
okay.
you would have enough information to do it.
So when do I need to cut the wheel?
When your chin, when you look out the your passenger window,
okay.
and your chin is even with the back of that car, the car in front of you,
okay.
the car that you're going to hit. Begin to cut.
Or the car that you already hit.
Yeah. Cut all the way like crazy, and now okay. the car should just ease right into that spot.
Right. And as soon as you see your right fender
crushing the
almost crushing the rear fender of the car next to you, then you start turning the wheel madly to the left, and you'll just glide right in.
But what about the front right fender?
Well, here's the first thing. Well, the front right fender, you have to watch out for that because you don't want to cut so sharply that you hit that.
But that eliminates the rear problem that you've talking about. We've transferred your problem from the back to the front. You notice how deftly we did that.
The first thing you have to do is be able to judge whether or not the spot is big enough for the car. Now, in the early stages, you may have to get out and pace it off. So
that's a little embarrassing.
After a while, you'll be able to recognize that this is a spot for a Hyundai, or this is a spot for a Taurus, this is a spot for a Lincoln Town Car.
Yeah.
Okay.
And go for it.
And listen for the noises. Turn the radio off. That's the most important thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you want to try to avoid those long, screechy noises. Because,
scraping, yeah.
Oh, those are bad, because that means that you've wiped out, perhaps, an entire side of a car.
So what do I do in that case?
Oh, you run.
You go to the next parking space. You go around the block.
Okay, Beth.
Ooh-hoo. We've given some pretty good advice today,
yes,
I'd say.
Yes, we have.
Another successful day of lawyers calling us tomorrow.
Hey, good luck, Beth.
Thank you very much.
Woo-hoo.
All right. It's time to take a short break.
How short?
Real short, like just a minute.
Oh, too short for a nap.
Right, exactly.
I'll have to nap during the next few calls instead.
Well, I'll let you know if anyone notices. Anyway, what's coming up right after the break?
It's a little story of a mom versus a car salesman.
Oh, kind of like a David versus the white belt story.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll be back with that and lots more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Well, I ain't good looking, and I don't have much money. But I've got something that makes all the women call me honey. It's long and smooth, shiny and hot. All the fellas are jealous of what I've got. So if you see me coming, you better jump back. From my genuine 59 fishtail Cadillac.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from the taillight brackets we sell in Harvard Square as Bluetooth earphones. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Tire Rack, whose tire and wheel specialists offer advice about tires for various vehicles, driving styles, and roads. TireRack.com. And
Angie's List,
providing reviews on local AC repair, landscapers, doctors, and others based on member experiences.
At AngiesList.com.
And Esurance, providing 24/7 customer service and claims. Hey, I thought they were an online company.
They're both.
Oh, 24/7 and online. Sort of like you're my brother and you're also a pain in my butt.
Esurance.
And even though parrots shake their heads and refuse to mimic whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
The first thing you lose is vision.
Your heart speeds up, stomach muscles clench.
And you have what's called gray out.
Gray out.
Then you go through blackout. Then you lose consciousness.
This week on Radiolab, out-of-body experiences. From fighter pilots to phantom limbs.
Some feel their arm is always clenched.
The nails dig into my palm.
Some feel like their hand is hot, that it's cold.
Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, with a reminder to drive safely on our roads and to check your tires every month. More information is available online at tiresafety.com.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a little story about buying a car.
Yeah, this came in from Janet Bulmer, who relates to us the following story. One day, my parents went to buy a new car. They went back and forth on the price until the salesman said, "I'll have to run this past my manager." My mom noticed that he was just going to the back of the showroom and taking a pull off his coffee. So when he came back and told him, "I got you the price, but I had to tell him you were my aunt." Mom didn't miss a beat. She said, "Okay, now I'll go back and tell him I'm your mother." True story. I told it in Mom's eulogy. Just wish I could channel her when I go buy a car.
Very good. Hey, by the way, the more astute among you may have noticed that the Puzzler is not here this week.
Hey, you're right. What happened to the Puzzler?
Like I said, the more astute among you may have noticed that the Puzzler is on summer vacation.
Oh, the Puzzler vacation!
Look, but every week that the Puzzler's away, we post one of our favorite used Puzzlers.
Pre-owned, please.
We post a pre-owned Puzzler with no warranty on our website, cartalk.com. So if you want a Puzzler, that's where to go.
Now, what if someone had a car problem that they wanted to discuss with us?
Well, then they'd call 888-CAR-TALK and ask to speak to anybody but my brother. That's 888-CAR-TALK or 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alita from Queechee, Vermont.
Alita?
Alita.
A-L-I-D-A?
Yep, that's it.
From where?
Queechee, Vermont.
Queechee. So what's on your mind, Alita?
My boyfriend and I have an 89 Nissan Pathfinder.
Uh-huh.
And we have a problem with it. There's fuel dumping down into the motor oil. And the wrong catalytic has been on it for about a year now, and it's gone through about 5 mufflers. But the truck's not burning any oil, but it is running rich.
I bet it is.
Yeah, so we've had just a ton of problems with it. So a few months ago, we were just sick of this truck, sick of these problems, and we decided we were going to blow the motor.
So, just to see what it was like.
Yeah, exactly. Just to see, you know, just to do it and be done
see,
with
that's
it.
What happens when you live in a place like Queechee, Vermont. I mean, you could have decided to go to a play, but there are no plays in Queechee,
right,
Vermont.
Right, exactly. So,
you have
know,
to make
you
your own fun.
You have to make your own fun. What are we going to do? Let's blow the motor, Mort.
Wait a minute, Alita. You can't be from Vermont if you want it. You must really be from New Hampshire if you decided to do this.
No.
How about your boyfriend?
He's from Vermont, too.
Oh, but I can't believe it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, he put a block of wood on the gas pedal, and the motor didn't blow.
So your plan was that you would put a brick on the gas pedal and just let it run and run and run and run and run until it destroyed itself.
Well, first we tried to do it by, you know, being really rough with it, four-wheeling.
Slapping it around and stuff?
Yeah.
But anyway, none of that worked.
No.
So then after this happened, we had the fuel in the motor oil. And we brought it to the mechanic. He said that he didn't think the fuel was because we had tried to blow the motor.
No.
He thought that it was some other problem. And now he's told us that it's the fuel injectors that need to be replaced because he's saying there's too much fuel going by them and it's getting onto the pistons and then leaking into the motor oil.
Well, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
What?
No. I mean, it's unlikely that all 6 injectors are bad.
Well, that's what they're telling us.
Nah, it's bogus.
Well, wait a minute. What do you care what's wrong with it?
Well, we...
You're trying to kill it.
No. See, now we like the truck because the motor didn't go. So we're like, well, we've got to fix this. We've got to use this.
I mean, we don't really care what's wrong with it either. Obviously, if you have no respect for this Pathfinder, why should we?
No, she has new respect for
it.
New respect.
The fact that they tried to kill it.
You couldn't kill it.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it came back and said, I'm hanging in there.
That wouldn't die.
Now we think this is great. Now we want this thing.
I think instead of having 6 bad injectors, it's more likely you have a bad fuel pressure regulator.
Okay.
Yeah, and the fuel pressure regulator will allow gasoline to get dumped into actually the intake manifold because there's a vacuum hose that connects the regulator to the manifold so that when the thing fails, the thing must run lousy too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have a pinhole in the diaphragm of the fuel pressure regulator.
Okay.
And the way you're going to find that out is you pull the vacuum hose off, and you're going to find that there's gasoline there, and there shouldn't be.
Okay.
So ask the guy to check that before he goes throwing. Those injectors are going to be $150 bucks a piece.
That's going to run into money. You don't want to go replacing injectors if you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know what to tell you, Alita. I mean, this is what you do for fun in Vermont.
Hey, four-wheeling is awesome.
No, we didn't mean the four-wheeling. The brick on
the
accelerator.
Motor. Well, no, that was, you know... That was just a one-time thing.
Yeah, I mean, you guys need to do some... Throw a pot or something. Buy a kiln.
Yeah, get cable TV. I mean, there are lots of things you can do. Read a book. No,
yeah,
forget
I
it.
Guess.
You're having fun. And go for it. Good
okay.
for you. Thanks for calling,
well,
Alita.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rick Norton, and I'm calling you from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah.
Is that Rick with a K?
Yes, R-I-C-K, that's it.
Okay, well, just,
yeah.
You never know.
Fort Worth, yes, indeed.
Well, what I'm calling about is I have a 94 Toyota. It's a Camry, and my brakes have got an awful squeal. Now, the brakes have already been replaced, the pads, the rotors, everything, but they're still squealing. Mm. The question that I have is, a friend of mine where I work has offered me this sage advice to take a small bead of lithium grease and put it down the center of the brakes, and that will eliminate any type of squeal.
Center of what? Of the pads?
No, the center of the...
The backside of the pad.
Yeah, the center of the inside of the rotor.
Ah,
I'm not really sure exactly where to put it.
Maybe you shouldn't exactly be doing
it. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. That's why I'm asking.
Who did this? Was this a brake job that you did in your driveway?
No, this was done by a nationally known brake chain.
Midas?
Yes.
Just a guess. I mean,
That's good.
Who it was, and I've taken it back to them once before and told them, hey, look, the brakes are squealing. Can you adjust it? And they did, and then for about a day or so they didn't. And when I went back to take it for a third time, they said, well, it sounds like whenever you come to a stop sign, you're slamming on your brakes and it's causing them to glaze over.
Ah, they're blaming you. That's the
exactly.
classic approach.
As they were explaining this, did your eyes start to glaze over?
You know what to do? Next time a mechanic blames you, give him a dope slap. Get out of here. It's not me. It's the brakes.
Well,
sick of it.
Yeah, I am too.
Tell him you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore.
It's the front brakes that are making the noise, I take it.
I'm assuming so.
Yeah.
Because that's the only ones with the rotors on them.
Right. The rear brakes on this car probably have drum brakes.
Yes.
If they want to make you happy, they can, from Toyota, buy the shim kit. The Toyota sells a set of Teflon shims, which will go in place of in addition to this grease, by the way. You'll take the calipers off, and with the pads in place, you will put a very light coating of grease on the pad itself, the metal part of the pad,
the backside. The front side.
Not the front.
No,
you don't put
side.
Any grease between the pad and the disc.
No.
Now, that would make the noise go away, but it would make it difficult to start.
It might make you go away.
So you put a very thin coating of this grease, and then you put this Teflon shim, which has little clips on it, and then you put another very thin coating of grease, and you do this to all four pads. You put the calipers back on, and the noise will be gone.
Well, I guess my question is regarding them is why didn't they do it the first time?
Well, most of the time they don't squeal, and the truth is it's probably you.
Well, I can't come over there and hit you on the other end of the phone.
You know, I mean, there are certain brake pads that will squeal and make other annoying noises depending upon how the person that drives the car stops.
Okay.
And we've discovered over the years
that it's you, Rick.
That the factory pads, no matter what you do, almost never make noise. But the non-factory pads can perform more than adequately in 95% of the applications, but in those 5% where we have noises or other troubles, we just go ahead and put the factory pads in. And there are many cars on which we use only the factory pads because we know that we're apt to run into a problem if we don't.
So if I go over to Toyota House and get the little shims that you're talking about, I can take it to them and they can, because they've got a lifetime warranty, they can put it on for me?
Here's what I would do. If you're going to go there, buy the shims and the pads.
Okay.
From the Toyota dealer, go back to Midas, tell them you'd like them to refund the money for the pads, and put on these Toyota pads and shims, and the noise will be gone.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'll be really happy to do this.
Okay.
Well, they will be.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll learn something, too.
They've already learned it. That's why they blamed Rick.
All right. Well,
good luck, man.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Okay.
Hey. Do you know what time it is?
Time to clean the barnacles off the old SS transmission rebuild?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they took our advice.
And if they got that nice bouquet of freesias that we sent them in the recovery room. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Gene from Radium Springs, New Mexico. Remember Gene?
No, but I remember Radium Springs. You can't forget a name like that.
Well, Gene called us because there was some strange goings on in Radium Springs.
I'm not surprised.
We live on a little bluff overlooking the river, and there's a 50-foot cliff off that runs along the edge of our driveway, and my 1983 Porsche 944 had been parked perpendicular to the edge of the driveway and the cliff, and it was about 30 feet away from the cliff, and I came home from town one day and found my Porsche teetering on the edge of the cliff.
Oh.
It had drooping there by itself.
Oh.
And what happened?
My husband and I pushed it back and put chocks under all the tires so it couldn't get away.
Wait, how did you push it if it was hanging off the edge?
Well, we stood on the edge of the cliff and...
What are you, crazy?
So you saved the car.
Yeah, we did.
And now what?
The car had been parked initially in reverse. The emergency brake was on. There was no key in the car. And it just drove itself.
So obviously it drove downhill.
No, it drove actually up a slight incline.
Oh, jeez.
What? Did they have a teenage son? Because that would explain everything.
It would, but I don't think so. But I do remember telling her that since the car was in reverse and it went backwards up a hill, it had to be the starter motor that was somehow engaging by itself.
Well, that's possible. But did we rule out the husband as a suspect? Maybe he hated the car.
Or her. No, look, I'm sticking with the starter motor. Had to be the starter. Absolutely. Gene, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Gene, look, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's true.
And the answer you're about to give us has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the set of Jersey barriers that we installed on the edge of your driveway.
That's right.
So, Gene, did you figure out what happened?
Yes, we did.
And was it the starter?
This doesn't sound good for us.
It didn't sound like yes.
Yes, you were correct in that the starter did turn the ignition and drove the car.
It did.
However, the car did not start by itself.
Oh, somebody did this.
Yes, sort of.
Your son.
No, my son did not.
your husband?
No, actually, we took it to our wonderful German car mechanic who we actually found on your website.
Oh.
He got under the hood, and he was finding evidence of pack rats under the hood and under the dash.
Oh.
And then when he got to the starter cable and the battery cable, which were next to each other, he found that the pack rats had chewed the insulation off of both the cables so the wires touched. So the pack rats actually hot-wired
my car. Oh, the rats did it.
The rats did
it. So how do pack rats differ from regular rats, like sewer rats? What other kinds of rats are there?
What's a pack rat, anyway?
Well, they must live in packs.
Pack rats, they're really cute. They hoard things.
Do they come like 20 to a pack?
six packs.
Six to a pack. Well, they hoard things and they live
pack.
And they live communally?
Yeah, they live in little... usually build big burrows under cacti and plants and...
And Porsches.
And Porsches. Really, so they were...
No kidding, and they ate both of the wires?
They chewed the insulation off both the wires so that they touched.
So it wasn't... So I was wrong. If you're taking everything literally, I was wrong when I said that the starter engaged. There was something wrong with the starter. What, in fact, happened was... starter is fine. It's the wiring to the starter.
Right. Yeah. Actually, the starter was fine. The battery was fine. We didn't have to replace anything. We just had to have the wiring taped up and fixed.
All right. Well, we have to allow our panel of judges in the studio here to vote on whether or not our answer was correct or incorrect.
That's right.
Let's have a show of hands. Was I correct? 1, 2, 3. All right.
Hey, they like it.
All right.
Well, I mean,
of course, they're all on the payroll, so how else would they vote, right?
But it is true that it was correct because the starter did, in fact, engage.
Yes, Yes.
It just so happened there was nothing wrong with the
starter. Nothing wrong with the starter.
Well,
we weren't thinking pack rats.
No, we weren't thinking magic either.
No.
Well, I was thinking you had told me magic. And also, I wanted to tell you I was misinformed. There is radium in the water in Radium Springs.
Oh, there is.
There is, but it's only in the hot springs.
Oh, so they're really hot.
Oh, yeah.
They're hot in more ways than one.
Oh, yeah.
So if you do go into one of the hot springs, do you bring a Geiger counter with you just to make sure that,
No, you just never come out. Are there a lot of people missing?
I don't know.
You got a lot of neighbors that you don't see much
anymore? Yeah,
the
newspapers are piling up on the front walk. This is what happened to Fred and Ann. I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird. Yeah, it could be.
Well, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Gene.
Oh. Well, thank you very much.
See you later.
For all your help.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right, it's time for us to pause for a minute to give our local stations a chance to identify themselves, right?
Come on, I mean, this is a scam. You think it takes them a whole minute to identify themselves? It's four letters. What does it take? 5 seconds? What I want to know is, what are they doing with the other 55 seconds? This has been bothering me forever.
I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're mostly disavowing any legal responsibility for what we say and begging their listeners for forgiveness. That's what those other 55 seconds are used for.
And they can do all that in less than a minute?
Yeah, I hope so.
That's a shock.
Look, we'll be back with more of your car questions. And hey, what else have you got for us?
I have statistical analysis.
Really? I can hardly wait. Stay tuned. I love it when you talk dirty. We'll be back in a minute.
Since Jenny is in my opinion, there's nothing in this world beats up 52 Vincent and a red-headed girl. Now velocets and triumphs and sunbeams won't do. They don't have a soul like a Vincent 52. Oh, you reached for a hand and you slipped her the keys. Said I've got no further use for these. I see angels on aerials in leather and chrome swooping down from heaven to carry me home. And he gave her one last kiss and died. And he gave her his Vincent to ride.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new biofuel-powered towing service, featuring 6 aging mules, a GPS unit, and a Skinner named Wally. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And
the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation,
dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives.
At gatesfoundation.org.
And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
And even though mice raise their hands to volunteer for medical experiments whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We've called him the hardest working man in show business. Jack White has reinvigorated rock and roll with his bands The White Stripes, The Raconteurs, and The Dead Weather. He's produced albums by American music legends, launched a solo career, and founded a great record label along the way.
This week on Sound Opinions, Jack White speaks with Greg and me at Third Man Studios in Nashville.
Sundays at 7 p.m.
back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and news about the average American.
That's right. I mean, we're always learning interesting things about ourselves. And here's another one, courtesy of listener Ronnie Fuchs. I bet you didn't know this.
I'm sure I didn't.
All right. A recent study conducted by Harvard University found that the average American walks about 900 miles a year.
Hmm.
Another study by the American Medical Association found that Americans drink, on average, 22 gallons of alcohol a year.
Really?
There you go. This means that, on average, Americans get about 41 miles to the gallon.
Wow, that's not bad. If Ford could do that, they'd be in great shape. Hey, by the way, as we always do whenever the puzzler is away, and it is away, we have one for you on our website, cartalk.com.
That's so people can calm their puzzler urges.
Sure. Whatever you say, bro. In the meantime, if you've got a car question, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ann.
Where are you calling from, Ann?
I'm calling from Florence, Alabama.
Florence, Alabama.
You might be more familiar with Florence, Italy, eh?
I am.
Maybe, a little bit.
Wait, is it Ann with an E on the end or not?
No, it's not the royal Ann. It's just the regular old Southern Ann.
Southern Ann has no E.
You know, it's
E.
The second name. All of us Southern girls have two names, and it's, you know, we go by Betty Sue or...
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Leslie Ann.
All those.
So right. What's your other name?
Oh, well, we won't talk about that. I go by the second
Come
name.
Come on. How are we going to be friends here if you're not going to lie to us? We're going to start all our relationship with a lie.
I'm afraid you'll accuse me of driving a Camaro or something.
Is it Donna Ann?
No, it's Patsy.
Patsy?
Or either that or I could own a beauty shop, right?
Patsy Ann.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I do too. I think you should use it.
It makes all the difference now. Now I can visualize you.
You want to visualize the car now?
What kind is it?
It's a Firenza, an Oldsmobile Firenza. It's that little one they made for a little while.
Yeah, it means Florence.
It does. That's interesting. You live in Florence. That's the Italian word for Florence, Firenze.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Firenze.
It's with an E at the end, but it's close enough.
They threatened to sue General Motors for using the name inappropriately, so they had to change it.
Is that why they quit making them?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an 87.
Okay, 87 Firenze.
Okay, all I want to do is get the car cleaned up. About once every year, I at least try to get my car detailed.
My wife does that once a year when they go in there and chisel off the bananas that have been welded to the floor for the last 7 months.
Exactly.
That's what she defines as detailing.
But there's a problem. There's a major problem.
What's that?
You can't get it detailed if you're constantly dirting it.
Oh.
There's some kind of black gummy substance that's blowing out of the ventilating system. Onto the floor, as, you know, the heat would on your feet, and also out of the vents that, you know, blow into your face there.
Really?
The whole ventilation system.
The panel vents, and also into the, for the defroster?
Yeah, and I can't wear anything but black shoes now, you see.
If you were to touch this stuff, would it almost feel like a powder, but a little rubbery?
No, I tell you what it's like. It looks like a fiber. It's almost got a little glitter to it. But then when you take it and rub it between your fingers, it turns to almost a wax, a real gummy wax. And you can't tell that there's any fiber in it at all. I can't make out what the stuff is.
Wow.
And neither can any of the people here in Florence.
Sure.
Gee, well, you may have to send a sample to our laboratory so we can have Murky do his research. He hasn't done anything for 2 years.
Yeah.
What I think it is.
Yeah, I think I know what it is, too.
It's the blower motor disintegrating.
Oh.
The blower motor.
Yes. That is the electric motor that turns the fan that blows the heat into your car. I think the motor itself is disintegrating, and pieces of it are winding up getting blown into the passenger compartment.
I think you're crazy.
I think I'm right.
Wouldn't that be more solid pieces rather than this?
No, it depends on what it is.
But I don't like it. I don't like it.
I love it.
Can I tell you what somebody else suggested it might be?
Yeah.
I took it to a local guy. I'm new to this area, so I picked him out of the Yellow Pages, you know. And he looks at it, and he tells me, no, I don't know what it is, but it's going to cost you $800 to $1,000 to fix it.
he doesn't know what it is, but it's going to...
But he's yeah. So he suggests...
I'd go with him. Yeah. I like it.
I don't know what it is, but it's going to cost you $1,000 to fix it,
exactly.
If that's what it is.
And then he sends me to the dealership. So I take it to the dealership, and I take it back to the detail shop, and they start calling their mechanics up there. And I get the first mechanic, and he looks at it, and he rubs it between his fingers, and he says, I don't know what it is. I've never seen anything like this. So they call over another mechanic, and he rubs it between his fingers, and he says, I don't know what this is. I've never seen anything like this. Mm. I've been in the business 20 years. Meanwhile, the first mechanic goes off. He comes back with an estimate to clean it up because he's interested in detailing my car.
Yeah.
So he gives me an estimate of taking the complete dashboard out, cleaning out the vents, and putting all the stuff back together and everything for $400. Okay.
Mm.
Meanwhile, they're still calling in mechanics.
Yeah.
They call in up. So after about the fourth mechanic shows, well, actually, I'm not sure he was a mechanic. He was real, real clean. They drove him over in a car. He didn't even have to drive himself.
He may have been Mr. Mechanic.
Yeah.
Dr. Mechanic.
And they were bowing as he came up.
Yeah.
And he looked at it, and he says, oh, it's the evaporator core.
Yeah.
And it's coming apart, and it's blowing out through the vents. And they said, how's your air conditioning work? It's not going to work. I said, well... So I turn the air conditioning on. It works fine. So everything seems to work fine.
Yeah.
I just got this stuff blowing out.
Well, he may be right.
It's
better than that hairbrain thing I can
make. Of course. He gave me an estimate to fix it. You know how much it was?
Oh, I didn't want $1,000.
$963.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So
I have to say that I have never heard of an evaporator deteriorating like this.
Nor have I.
Here's my theory. As you know, that heat and the air conditioning stuff underneath there, under the dashboard, go in various places. The heat can either come out the floor, or out through the dashboard, or up through the defroster. And the way it goes in various directions is there are doors down there, opening and closing. Here's my theory.
I want you to sit down for this, Patrick.
My brother is going to love this theory. He's going to love it. He's going to say... Jeez, why didn't I think of that? I think that in order to make those doors seal tightly, they have around all of them this stuff right here.
Yes, it's like a foam gasket.
Like a foam. You ever buy stuff and electronic stuff, and it's packed in this soft, foamy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that's deteriorating, and that's the stuff that's turning to dust. And that's the stuff that when you roll it between your fingers, it gets waxy. That's what it is, and which means that when they go down there to open up these little passageways, like the detailing guy wants to do, he's going to find all of these little sealers all falling apart.
Silence on my end.
Well, yeah, mine too. I'm wondering what would cause them to do that.
Oh, age.
Would it cause it to kind of do it all at one time? Because it's just like a start
ago,
and now it's just pouring out, you know, everything.
Sure. Well, I mean, as soon as it happens to all of the stuff.
See, I don't like any of the answers, to be perfectly honest. But, again,
I've never seen anything like this before.
No, never. I mean, I've never heard of an evaporator deteriorating the way this... Although this guy that came in on the limo... I mean, he must have been some guy.
Were they kissing his ring and all that stuff?
They were bowing and backing up from him and saying,
yeah, hey,
here comes John now.
Yeah.
John will know.
Yeah, and John, he just came right out with it. Uh-huh, he says.
I would go back to the first guy.
You said it doesn't know what it is, but it's going to cost $1,000.
Yeah, I think I'd have him do it. Well, he was honest, at least. None of these guys knows what it is. And by authoritatively saying to you, it's going to be $1,000, they've covered all the bases. No matter what it is, for $1,000, they're going to fix it. I would still go at it in a piecemeal fashion. I would take apart the easiest stuff first and see if that yields an answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's easiest to take out the blower motor, and it's easiest then to look around in there, maybe try to vacuum some of the stuff out, and maybe trying to see where it's coming from once you've gotten to that point.
Okay.
If it turns out that my brother is right.
God forbid.
It would be an amazing thing.
It really would. And I have to say that in this case, since no one has any idea, there's a very high probability that I'm right. And they will know this when they pull out the blower motor. They'll probably see all of these little sealers, and they'll say, my God, he was right.
Well, Patsy Ann, good luck.
Dear. Okay, I appreciate it, guys.
Bye-bye.
Hi. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andy from Middletown, Connecticut.
Hi, Andy.
Middletown.
Yeah. My brother has made many a trip to Middletown, Connecticut.
Could it have anything to do with Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut?
Yes, it could have something to do with that.
I see. Well, I could be on the faculty there, so...
I'll be careful.
All right.
I have nothing bad to say about Wesleyan University.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
That's good.
What do you teach, though?
Classical studies. Greek and Latin, ancient history, mythology, stuff like that.
Well, you may have had my son in a couple of classes because he majored in philosophy.
I might have.
You'd remember him because he was a loud snorer.
Oh, he's the guy with the stuffed animals in
That's
the background.
That's him.
Yeah,
okay,
got it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, where were we?
Here's the situation.
Yeah.
I learned long ago
yeah.
that it is safer to drive with your car doors locked on the highway because if you're in an accident, especially at high speed, you're safer in the car than being tossed from it. So I lock the doors.
Mm-hmm.
My kids think, my daughters think, well, this is just dad being weird, so what else is new? My wife, however, has much stronger objections and says this is actually unsafe because if we do, God forbid, get in an accident and the electronic locks are all down, then it would make it much more difficult for emergency personnel to get to us or for us to get out. And so there's the dilemma that I'm presenting to you guys, and we have, of course, agreed to abide by your decision.
You have?
Have you?
There's
well,
no, there's no
yeah.
money that's been wagered on this,
no.
the outcome of this.
No, no money.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, you know...
It is safer to be in the car than to be thrown out of it.
Yeah.
But the seatbelt does usually take care of that. And lots of car manufacturers, you may have noticed, lock the doors automatically for you.
Right.
You know, so you get in and you either put the thing in drive, the doors lock, or you get to some certain speed, 16 miles an hour or whatever, and the doors lock. And I think for a long time... when they began doing this, and I'm trying to think, I think Chrysler maybe was the first company that I noticed that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pain in the butt, actually, especially considering that the doors, and some cars still have this problem, don't unlock when you stop the car. So you put the thing in park, and either you can't open your door, or if you can, the passengers can't open their door.
Exactly.
Or you get out to get something out of the back seat, and that door's locked. Because you opened your door, but you didn't unlock the other doors, because they were locked automatically when the thing was put in drive and exceeded 16 miles an hour. So it is a little bit of a pain, and I'm not sure that it helps any. I think they, you know, research has proven that, in fact, the doors are not more likely to pop open if they're unlocked.
Yeah, I think I probably learned this well before, certainly before airbags, and probably even well before the kind of widespread use of seatbelts. So
you have a four-door car?
Well, we have two cars. We have an old Lexus, 10-year-old, and a Mazda MPV, you know, with the sliding doors on the sides.
Yeah. Well, I would lock half of them.
But there are standards that all manufacturers have to agree to insofar as what kind of force that the door can take before it pops open.
Yeah.
It may be, and I don't know this for sure, that some manufacturers have determined that their cars do better with the doors locked. I don't know that.
Sure.
Not to mention the fact that if your doors are locked, it also prevents intruders when you're stopped in city traffic. And, you know, that may be the more important issue, that if you stopped at a light, that someone doesn't reach in and snatch your pocketbook, which is on the seat next to you.
I rarely carry my pocketbook on the seat next to me.
or your briefcase with all those important papers in there that you have to grade.
Yeah.
You know, so it may be, and I know it might not be a concern in Middletown, Connecticut, but it certainly is a concern in some of our urban areas.
Sure.
That you don't want somebody getting into your car when they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that it should be something that you should decide as the driver. I hate cars, quite honestly, that lock themselves. I also don't like cars who decide when I have the intermittent wipers on that I'm not smart enough to figure out when they should be on and when they shouldn't be. They have an override on the intermittent setting. Do you know that? A lot of cars do?
Yeah.
You set it for one swipe every so many seconds or whatever, and it says, no, you're too stupid to figure this out. I'm going to swipe the window when I think I should,
yeah,
because this cheap 11-cent computer I put in here is smarter than the guy behind the wheel and knows better when the window should be wiped. So they're going a little bit overboard with things.
Well, because they can do it.
Because they can do it, right.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, so you don't have to lock your doors if you don't want to.
I don't have doors on my car.
Right.
I certainly don't have windows, and I don't have locks.
Would you have that plastic mesh like in the Demolition Derby?
Not even.
Oh, I wish.
Not even. If you saw his car, you'd be amazed. Well, Andy, do with this information what you please.
Well, thanks for your advice, I guess. Thanks very much. Love the show.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
You're not talking to me.
No, I wasn't, actually. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the West Chop Soda Pop, Carrot Top, Barley Hop, Lemon Drop, Porridge Glop, Milky Shop, and Mutton Chop Coffee Shop, Lunch and Swap, and Photo Op is John Bugsy Lawler.
Very well done.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our downsizing consultant is Candace Guy. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the sidewalk bicycle racers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother, please.
And don't drive like my brother, please.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1231. Download some classic Car Talk episodes or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, what do we have for the contestants, Johnny? Really? What else? You don't say. Oh, the Car Noise Emporium.
There you go. Listen to the noises. See if you can diagnose the problem.
Well, based on the noises you made, my diagnosis is you're nuts.
Check out the Car Noise Emporium
on the homepage all this week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Hey, do they also sell working with your brother insurance?
No.
Well, I'll have to put in a request.
Esurance.
And
Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy. And
WeatherTech,
maker of laser-measured all-weather floor liners to help protect a vehicle's floor.
Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
Corsus, keeping CarTalk.com up and running 24-7.
Mostly by keeping you from touching it.
Corsus, technology with confidence, on the web at Corsus.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.